Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Josh Rogan, writing global opinions for the Washington Post, with a small puzzle. Five major figures in the Biden administration have now traveled to Beijing to talk about the relationship between Washington and Beijing. I name them Bill Burns of the CIA, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, Special Envoy for Climate John Kerry, and now most recently, Gina Raimondo, the Secretary of Commerce, all traveling to Beijing. And, Josh, a very good evening to you. The puzzle is, why one way only? What is it that Beijing finds difficult in making about the trip to Washington? After all, according to reporting, what we have, Beijing's got economic troubles that need remedies. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, here we are in 2023, only 2 years after the Biden administration promised coming in that it would not do the thing that most administrations do, which is to make engagement with Chinese leaders the goal of U.S.-China policy. In other words, they profess to have learned this lesson that they would make the Chinese come to us, and that we wouldn't prize having meetings, especially substanceless meetings, as some sort of achievement, because all of that does is often distract us from the real task at hand, which is to counter China's bad actions and protect ourselves from its strategies and behaviors. But nevertheless, here we are. And basically what has happened in those 2 years is that the Chinese government has flipped the script, and now they have convince the Biden administration that actually we need to go to them. And there are a lot of complicated reasons for that. One of that is that they were closed down for COVID for so long that when they opened up again, it seemed like, wow, we should probably talk to these guys. Another reason is that the Biden administration is headed towards an election. And the last thing they want in that election season is for any economic troubles. And Beijing holds a sort of Damocles over Biden's head in that respect, because they've been known to use economic troubles to undermine the reelection of Democratic leaders they don't like. And then you put together what's going on in China, which is a slowdown of the economy, a crackdown, and an environment, really, where U.S. businesses are shouting at the U.S. government, this is not okay. You put all those three things together, and you could understand why the Biden team decided, okay, we got to get back in the room with these guys, even if it means sending five officials before they've even reciprocated once, which in any normal world would be considered diplomatic malpractice. Now, but what I wrote for the Washington Post is not that that was a bad thing in and of itself, but simply that it's worth it now at this time to look at the results, and there are none. In other words, the engagement happened. It went as successfully as could be expected with zero results. In other words, the Chinese government has not conceded on any of the concerns, even acknowledged really any of the concerns of the international community about the way it's treating businesses, the way it's treating foreigners, the way it's treating its own people, the way it's treating Taiwan. And there's no progress in any real efforts to exert any pressure or any incentives for them to change their behavior. So we're basically back where we started. And that's not good, because all this time has gone by. So, you know, Gina Raimondo, the latest of these officials, is sort of fitting that she was the last one, because she's the China official that sort of is right in the middle of where the Biden administration policy is right now. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. I call it like a Goldilocks approach. It's just like a sort of a medium warm stew of policy that accomplishes nothing but doesn't starve you. And I think that's, again, a really serious missed opportunity to do something more serious about the rising threat of China's economic military aggression.
A small checklist to be concrete about disappointment. In these conversations, is there any progress on mill-to-mill conversation between Beijing and Washington? Has that advanced?
not only is there no progress, there's no mill-to-mill relationship, period. Oh. Even a year ago or 2 years ago, the defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, could get meetings and get his Chinese counterpart on the phone. That's gone now. And of course, the CCP blames Nancy Pelosi or whatever, but the bottom line is that they just cut off all those communication channels. Really dangerous. Meanwhile, if you listen to what Chinese defense officials say in public, they say, we need to de-escalate through communication. Okay. And so, in other words, they're lying. And that's become sort of like this is a really good example of how even reasonable efforts to manage the relationship responsibly are falling on deaf ears in Beijing.
John Kerry, Special Envoy for the Climate. Any movement whatsoever on the fact that 2/3 of the greenhouse gases since 2020 are from China? Did John Kerry win any satisfaction that they understand the scale of the problem?
Zero. Actually, you could say it had negative progress because provided a golden opportunity for Xi Jinping's government to double down on its policy of building carbon plants at a rate that's like three times the size of the rest of the world combined, and promising to do so for many, many years. So, you know, it's got to make you think, like, if climate change, since we can all agree that we all want the planet to survive, right? If we can't get to any sort of conversation, even on climate change, then what can we really cooperate on? In other words, it's not a great example of the people in the administration who are actually more amenable to Beijing, and the Chinese government tells them to pound sand too.
And finally, you report that Gina Raimondo's email was hacked before she got there. That would be a major faux pas ordinarily. Did any progress whatsoever on the bad actors in Shanghai inserting themselves into American politics?
Not only that, I mean, it's pretty disrespectful when you're expecting the Commerce Secretary to hack her email account the week before. It's kind of a slap in the face. It's kind of like when they sent that spy balloon over the United States while Blinken was about to go, and he actually canceled his trip. But Gina was like, "What? No big deal. She'll go anyway." And when she came back, she said something very clear. She said, "Well, we made zero progress, but you wouldn't expect any progress to be made." And I think that sums up where we are with China right now. There's no expectation of any progress, and that's a problem. And that's why I argue again in the Washington Post today that, if they're not willing to seriously address any of our concerns, then we have to work with allies and partners to raise the pressure and to do more things to protect ourselves on high technology, on trade, on human rights, on all of this stuff. And that's just the new normal. That's the new reality we're all living in. But again, the Biden administration is risk averse. They don't want to rock the boat any more than necessary. They're trying to get Biden into a room with Xi Jinping in San Francisco in November because they believe that that's where the relationship can be progressed. But that's been tried before. And I think we're entering into a period where China is becoming more reclusive at home, more aggressive abroad, and more emphatic about telling the rest of the world to go screw itself. And I don't think the Biden administration has internalized that yet, but they should have.
Are there any other major figures in the administration due in Beijing in these next weeks, Josh? We have about 30 seconds.
No, what we're going to see in the next 3 weeks is a full court press on the rest of Asia. Vice President Harris is going to Indonesia for ASEAN summit and for the East Asia summit. Joe Biden is going to Vietnam to sign a big U.S.-Vietnam strategic partnership agreement. Then he's going to the G20 in India, which Xi Jinping will not be at. So while China won't talk, the rest of the region will. And I think that's a better use of, frankly, of our government's time and resources to work with the people who want to work with us rather than going hat in hand to Beijing every time they call us there.
Joshua Rogan, writing Global Opinions for the Washington Post. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.